We're going to be in Galatians tonight, chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we continue the lesson on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse 16, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, when you live in the flesh, you can't live the Christian life properly, right? You can't do the things that you would when you're not living for God. It says in verse 18, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. By the time we're done, you're going to have all these verses memorized. We'll read them every week. That repetition will help you learning that. And so I want to challenge you tonight about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going through the list tonight. And we're in verse number 22. And we are to the subject of gentleness tonight. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on the message, please. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time to open your word. Please, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. And Lord, challenge us, open up and enlighten our eyes and open our hearts. Help us to see what needs to be out and what needs to be put back in. Help us, Lord, to be walking in the Spirit, Lord, so that you bless and use the lives of each and every Christian here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, I challenge you again, as I have before, about walking in the Spirit. There is no substitute in the Christian life to walk in the Spirit. There is no instant oatmeal, a minute mac and cheese, drive-through to try to have God's blessing in your life. And I think many times we think, well, what's the quick fix? You know, I know what God says, but that's going to take work. Yeah, it does take work. And every day that walking with God, it takes work to spend time with God every day. And you allow God to work on your heart. And as I prayed already, to get the wrong things out, confessing sin and not living in the flesh and say, but God, I want to live in the Spirit. And you have to desire that. You have to desire to walk in the Spirit and understand the dangers of living in the flesh. And when you walk in the Spirit and you are led by the Spirit, then God produces that fruit of the Spirit in each and every one of our lives. And what a blessed place that is to be. We've all been there before, where you have a day where that flesh is leading you and you are destroying anything and everything in your path, like a tornado just going through, and that the flesh is just consuming in your life. And what a terrible testimony that is, but what a destructive place it is for you, first of all, but then others in that path as well. But I hope and I pray that you have those days where you are truly walking in the Spirit, and that should be every day. But you have that day where you feel like, Lord, truly, I believe you've led me each step of the way. Every step, every word, every thought, that the Lord is really directing your steps and your words, and you are led by the Spirit throughout the day, and God is producing the fruit in your life. And we see that fruit of love we talked about. It starts with the fruit of love and the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, and the fruit of long-suffering last week. And tonight we'll get to the subject of the fruit of gentleness. Now, this may not sound like a manly character trait to have in your life, and maybe thinking of a gentle giant, I'm not sure. But gentleness, but it truly is a Christ-like spirit as the Lord gives to us tonight. And I want to help you with that, of in some ways not redefining, but explaining what gentleness is from the Scripture, but then how, when we have that fruit of the Spirit, gentleness can lead us in our lives and help us. Gentleness is kindness. It's humility. It's referring in a sweet and a Christ-like spirit to others in difficult situations. Gentleness. I think maybe one of the best ways I can explain it, and I'll try a few different ways, but do you ever have a package show up on your front door and it says, handle with care, right? Breakable, I'm not sure, but there's another term I'm not thinking of. You ever see that? And it's a handle with care. And you see the box that showed up and you think, can you not read? All right, first of all, whatever's in there, it doesn't matter how indestructible it could be, it's broken. A number of years ago, we were replacing a part on another vehicle that we had, and I ordered a part in the mail, catalytic converter, and I've not done that before. Thank the Lord for Brother James that has helped me with that, and he's home tonight sick. Pray for him. And I remember we found the part, ordered in the mail, and I got the box, pulled it in the house, and I was like, what monkey delivered this and kicked it all the way from Kansas or wherever it came to here? And it was so torn up, and like the part was sticking through the box, and there was no packing around the part at all. And so I opened it up and took a picture, and they, of course, let me return it and sent another one. Whoever delivered that did not have the fruit of gentleness in their life, of caring for that package. And you see some where they literally just take it and just like throw it on the porch. You're like, thank you. That cost money, and that's something I need, and now I get to reorder whatever it is because of not having gentleness. Let me explain this to you a couple other ways. Some things in life have to be dealt with directly and with force, similar to chopping wood. You're going to go out and chop some wood, and you get the a full log there and an axe, and you're going to do it old school style. Now, a log splitter is so much more fun to use. Maybe more dangerous, I'm not sure, depending who's using the axe. But when you get that log there and you're going to split it, you can't come at it with an axe and just kind of like, you know, a little tap at it and expect it to split apart. And that's maybe not the time to use gentleness. And any man is going to use every bit of force and see if he can splinter it every which way that he can and hopefully not harm himself in the process. That's not a place where you're going to go gently. You're going to go head on, full force, attacking that of what is needed. You know, there's situations in the Christian life where you need to be a little more direct. It needs to be a little more in the face, a little up front, some correction, applying Bible truth maybe to wickedness or in some way. And you need to just, in a Christ-like spirit, and not having anger, but righteous indignation. I think that's the biblical term for it. But some people, they take the axe and the wood principle to everything in life. Everything needs an axe and everything needs to be split apart. And it's, you know, like destruction. You're like, whoa, easy. A little gentleness there. Jesus did that when he went into the temple, didn't he? And they were selling in the temple. And what did Jesus do? He didn't go in there and say, excuse me, guys, would you please take it out of here? No, what did he do? He was flipping over tables and casting them out. He had some righteous indignation. He had some anger controlled Christ-like. And there's a time and a place for that, of course. Other situations in life, you address, of course, with gentleness and care. Think about that as caring for a baby, right? That baby is helpless without someone caring for that child, and you hold the child with care, and you feed them, and you nourish them, and you wrap them up, and you put them in their beds, and you care for them so gently. Why? They're fragile. They need help, and they need care. They need someone to give some care to them. Jesus, although at times he would deal with the Pharisees and Sadducees and would call them a whited sepulcher and full of dead man's bones, and I think, whew, that was some harsh preaching there. Where it was needed. Religious people thinking how righteous they were, and Jesus was showing them how unrighteous that they were. But then there's also times where Jesus used gentleness, for instance, in dealing with the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and the men that brought her out, and they brought her to Jesus and said, Jesus, you know, she was in the act of adultery, and And she needs to be stoned. And they were all there ready and ready for Jesus to lay out the punishment. That was just. That was the deserving punishment in the day. And Jesus Christ, instead of picking up the stones or casting the judgment, and he would deal with it, but he would draw on the ground. What he drew, we don't know. But then he would get up and say, "Let him that is perfect cast the first stone." And they went away one by one, didn't they? And as they left, she had done wrong. There was no denying it. She didn't deny it. And as they left, Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." He had some gentleness with it. Was it excusing of sin? No, it wasn't. It was dealing with it with gentleness, with some grace, and with some mercy. In John chapter 10, another example of Jesus Christ, and again, he is our ultimate example in every way of having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And one of those examples I think of is Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. If you ever do a Bible study on the names of God, it's an incredible study to do and to think about what the names of God mean. And for instance, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And in John 10, you could turn there on your own at some point and read it. But the Good Shepherd, he guides the sheep. Again, he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, right? And I'm thankful for that. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Good Shepherd. He guides the sheep. He directs the sheep. He protects the sheep from the wolves and the danger around. He speaks to the sheep. He says, "My sheep know my voice." He says, he knows the sheep. He said, "I know them." Aren't you thankful that the Good Shepherd knows you by name? That he cares for you, protects you, and guides you? Aren't you thankful that the Good Shepherd gives some gentleness in your life, or maybe you deserved harshness and judgment, and God had some gentleness with you? He knows you by name, and I think the greatest example of the Good Shepherd he shows us in John 10 is he says that the Good Shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. He cares for those sheep deeply. More than anyone else, he cares for the sheep. He's an example of gentleness. When you walk in the Spirit, God gives you gentleness. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight about the subject of this fruit of gentleness. Number one, gentleness is having wisdom for the situation. Wisdom for the situation. You ever face a situation, you say, "Lord, I don't want to mess this up, but I don't know what decision to make." You ever been there? With your children, with your marriage, with a work situation, it's a tricky situation. "Lord, I need gentleness with this situation." It's one of those situations that it's a handle with care. Why? People's lives are at stake, right? Or testimony, or sin, or whatever the case may be. Having wisdom for a situation. I think about this in regards to maybe a homeless person on the side of the road holding a sign, and maybe they're looking for a ride, or maybe they're looking for food. And as you approach that, I would think you would want wisdom in dealing with the situation. Wisdom. Now, we can just ignore and go on by. And there is wisdom on how to deal with that. Wisdom might be, I may not be able to bring that person in the car with my family. That would not be wise. That would not be caring for my family with doing that. You may also think, I don't want to aid in a sinful habit, which is many times the case. But you may think there must be something, Lord, that I can do to have some care for someone that is out in the rain or on their own and nowhere to, people sleeping on the side of the road all the time. And you think, Lord, is there something that I can do to be a help? Wisdom for the situation. Lord, what is the right decision with a difficult situation? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And that's truly how it feels in the world today, doesn't it? Sheep in the midst of wolves. You look around, you go, "What is everyone doing out here? My goodness, the world has lost their minds." But the Bible says this, as we are sheep in the midst of wolves. It says, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I think of that with being wise about the situation that you face. Now, I don't know all the situations, but maybe it's that family situation. You say, "Lord, give me wisdom on how to deal with this properly to help someone and not hurt them." I don't want to be that illustration of a bull in a china closet. And you've seen that illustration of the bull that goes around and just smashes everything in its way. You leave a lot of damage behind, And wisdom would be, Lord, help me to deal with this the right way. Have you ever heard of the example? I'm sure you have, of course, but read the room. Read the room. Some people do not have that character trait of reading the room. You walk into a room and they're just, you know, oh yeah, and it's all fun and games. And you think, can you not tell what just happened here before you walked in? Read the room. In other words, having wisdom that only comes from the Lord. Being harsh can hurt people and ruin relationships. Being harsh with people, and if you are just the one where it is always ultimate judgment in your face, have some gentleness. Have some gentleness in what you say and what you do and how you treat people. Can I also say this? Be gentle with people and being wise, but also not being harsh with God's word. You know, sometimes we can take God's word and it's the truth, but it's not spoken in love. And we can take the Bible and use it as a weapon for this world, and there is truth and it must be applied, but how you apply it, that's wisdom. How to apply it. Kind of like the verses in Proverbs where it says, answer a fool according to his folly, and the other one is answer not a fool. So which one do I answer them or not answer them? That's wisdom. When to say it, when not to say it, how to say it, how not to say it. May we not as a Christian use the Bible as a weapon to hurt people, but to help people, to point people in the right direction. Gentleness is having wisdom for the situation. Number two, gentleness is helping the broken. It's helping the broken. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, when he saw the broken condition of this earth, when God gave one rule in the garden, and that was don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. Two people, one rule, they broke it. I mean, how simple could that be? But in God's mercy, he came, he did give out the judgment, he did. And he cast them out and he covered them. He sent them out. He didn't reject them completely, but there was a separation because of sin. But then even in the punishment that Jesus Christ, that God prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 of a Savior that would come through the bloodline and through man, that his seed would bruise the head of that serpent. Even through the judgment time that Adam and Eve were going through, that Jesus Christ was here to help the broken. When you walk in the Spirit, God gives you gentleness to deal with difficult situations in life. If you haven't figured it out already, life is messy at times because of sin. Ours and others as well. And you think, Lord, how do I deal with this? What do I do? And you think, Lord, I couldn't even fathom this situation because I didn't grow up that way and I didn't make decisions that way. People that are broken because of sin, and sometimes people that have just had the effects of sin and they did nothing to bring that on themselves, but they've been innocent victims in a situation. You think, Lord, help me to help the broken. And having gentleness. Life is messy and people have problems. But gentleness sometimes is getting your hands dirty and trying to help people that are in need. I think of the Good Samaritan, and as the man that was traveling on the road, and he was beaten and left for dead, and everything was taken, and he was left, you know, close to lifeless, really. He was left, and he was going to die unless if somebody helped him. The priest and the Levite, of course, went their way and went on the other way. They didn't want to be bothered with this situation. You know, I've got things to do, places to go, and religious people. And unfortunately, sometimes religious people and people that are not led by the Spirit don't always, that have the Spirit living inside of us, aren't always walking in the Spirit. And then the good Samaritan, as we know this story, he went by and he found the man and he bound up his wounds. It took some time. It took some effort. It took some money. It took some labor. Put him on his beast and helped him to get to the inn, and he paid the fare and said, when I come back, I'll pay it again. He had some care for someone that he didn't know, just needed someone to show the love of Christ and to have some gentleness. Gentleness is helping the broken. It's understanding the situation. You enter a hospital room, and there's some time to have some gentleness. You know, some people that have good bedside manner and some that you think just stay out, completely. You know, don't say anything. They don't have the good bedside manner, you know. Having some gentleness and understanding of the situation and just say, hey, maybe you don't have to point it out. Praying for you. We love you. Can I pray for you? Can I do something for you? Maybe someone that's fallen into sin and they maybe need some restoration, some help and wisdom in that situation, of course, but some gentleness with a difficult situation when people sin. We've all been there before, and someone that gently had to try to help you through a situation as well and added some grace to some difficult time in your life. The Bible says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above. In other words, there's a wisdom from above, and there's a wisdom of this world. And you want that wisdom from above, not from this world, all right? Not from AI, all right? We were talking about that earlier. That stuff scares me. If that doesn't scare you, you've not looked or thought about it much at all, but I believe that's probably the greatest evil introduced in recent days and years. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Gentle, the wisdom from above, gentle, peaceable, full of mercy and good fruits. I want to give you just a few thoughts as we conclude tonight about being gentle in your spirit. Gentle in your spirit. You can say the right words in the wrong spirit, and it doesn't help much at all, and it only hurts it. You've heard the illustration before, but, you know, someone that, you know, they do something wrong, I'm sorry. You're like, wonderful spirit, right? You can say the same thing a number of different ways, and it can mean a whole number of different things. Kind of like the English language. Some words that mean, like, you can say one word, it could be spelled like five different ways. You're like, can we make it any more confusing, people? But gentle in your spirit. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, gentle in your spirit. I think it's pretty clear to understand when others have some gentleness in their spirit and when there's a harshness in the spirit, when there's maybe some anger or some resentment or bitterness there and is not maybe a Christ-like spirit. Be gentle in your spirit. Caring about others. Again, not trying to hurt people, but trying to help people in whatever situation it may be. Maybe in relationships that you have. In your home, have some gentleness with people in your home. You've been there before where you have your windows open. Are you loving the nice warm afternoons? They're not warm mornings, but they're warm afternoons, and we open our windows. We have a school behind us, and we open the windows, and then break time comes. And they're out there trying to kill each other. I'm pretty sure that they are. And so they're trying to rest for a minute and get ready for this evening and close the windows. There is no gentleness out there. And it's like war. War has erupted, I think. Is there an adult on the premises anywhere? And, sometimes balls come flying over the fence and all that. So what I do, I kick the ball as hard and as far as I can over the fence when no one's around, because why not? Well, what fun is it just to toss it over there? No one's around, like, I'm going to see how far I can get it. I don't know why. Not gentle, I guess. I'm not sure. gentle in your spirit. Again, you can't generally hide your spirit, right? Many times the spirit comes out. You're like, I didn't say anything. Oh, but the spirit came forth pretty strongly there. Gentle in your spirit. You know, when you have some gentleness in your spirit, it shows some humility. Humility. You know, pride wants to attack and wants to confront and wants to. There's times for that. I get it. I'm not saying that there's not a time for that. But then there's also times to have some gentleness. I think of that as a parent. There's times where it's time to have some correction. It's time that, you know, we're going to correct as much as we can correct until the attitude is changed. There's also times of mercy. There's also times of, you know, hey, Dad loves you. I'm trying to help you and trying to help to guide you in the right direction. Have some humility. Pride it can be a danger in our situations. I'll read you a verse, and I think it really is shown here. in Proverbs 15:1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Gentleness in your spirit, but also gentleness in your speech." Gentleness in your speech. Again, your spirit is shown through your speech, but out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh, right? You're watching it, you're listening to it, you're thinking, it's going to come out eventually. And having some gentleness in it. You ever think, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then you say it, right? You're like, I tried many times and it slipped out. I'm sorry, Lord, I should have done it. Or you think, don't say it this way. Don't. Then the Holy Spirit's trying to stop you, trying to hold you back like that dog getting ready to go on that race or going to get his bone or his treat, whatever. And it's ready to take off and the Holy Spirit's trying to hold you back. But we run past it, right? Gentleness in your speech. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You're like, I don't know why they responded to me so harshly. Well, how did you respond to them? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Having some understanding in your speech. You ever answered before you really knew the situation, and then all of a sudden you had to try to take back your words, and you went, I'm sorry, I didn't really know what I was talking about. People love to do that in the media. They love to put out a news report about what happened, and then they try to, you know, bring it back, and, oh, we didn't really, don't release the facts if you don't know if it's the facts. Having some understanding, some wisdom, not speaking too soon or acting too harshly when you don't really know what had happened. Maybe having understanding about the situation. That person that maybe is having a tough day and you go to be harsh with them, maybe they need some gentleness and some care and some prayer. Having some kindness in your speech. And You've heard it before, but kill them with kindness. Not literally, but an analogy. But kill them with kindness and having some kindness and some gentleness about our speech. You know, as Christians, we don't have to be mean all the time. Right? I think sometimes people think, well, if I believe the Bible, then we're going to be mean at everyone all the time. That's not a Christ-like spirit. Now, there's a time where Jesus and you see God and he, you know, fire and brimstone, but there was a lot of mercy before that judgment came. So we need to be careful about that, that we don't think because I'm a Bible-believing Baptist that I've got to go around and burn everybody and preach to everyone all the time. Have some gentleness, having some kindness, having some caring in your life as well for people around you. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness, handle with care. What's the situation today that the Lord maybe put on your heart, on my heart, that maybe needs to be handled with care? Maybe it's a person in your life. Maybe it's a situation at work or at home that needs some gentleness about it. And where you think, I want to be anything but gentle with the situation. But the Holy Spirit is impressing on your heart, follow the Holy Spirit's leading. He will never lead you the wrong direction. When you act in the flesh, you will always wish that you acted in the spirit. And you can't take it back, though.